Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk Azure podcast with your hosts Sam Foote
and Alan Armstrong.
If you're new here, we're a pair of Azure and Microsoft 365 focused IT security professionals. It's episode 11 of season 5. Alan and I had a discussion around Azure Key Vault. It is a cloud service that securely stores and manages sensitive information such as keys, certificates, and secrets, with features for access control, encryption, and auditing. Here are a few things that we covered. What is Azure Key Vault? What are the common use cases for Key Vault? What does it integrate with, and how much does it cost? We've noticed that a large number of you aren't subscribed. If you do enjoy our podcast, please do consider subscribing. It would mean a lot for us for you to show your support to the show. It's a really great episode, so let's jump in. Hey Alan, how are you doing this week?
Hey Sam, not doing too bad. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good, thank you. Are you over your jet lag and buzz and excitement of the MVP summit?
Over the jet lag, probably not over the buzz, to be fair.
lots to digest from that week, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of info, lots to prep for and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think we got, definitely, what, two net new products, didn't we, that week? You know, or getting close to GA. So it's more to learn, more to integrate, more to use. So not complaining, but yeah, it's always when new things appear, plus a bunch of updates, there's just, yeah, a lot to absorb.
Yeah, it keeps us on our toes, and that's where I like to be.
yeah, exactly.
May feel the pain of it, but it's enjoyable. So yeah, cool. Okay, Sam, what are we talking about this week?
Yeah, so I'm going to cover Azure Key Vault. I'm surprised we haven't actually done one on Key Vault. It's one of those things that, I don't know, I just find it's not that shiny and sparkly, but it's like a sort of trusted sort of service that we utilize all the time, right?
It's quite sort of central, isn't it? It's quite key to most things in the way we use it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely.
Okay then. So let's start with the basics then. So what is Azure Key Vault?
Yeah, okay, yeah. So it's a fully managed and hosted service with inside of Azure. And it's designed to store certificates, keys, and secrets. So certificates could be web server, TLS certificates, other certificates that are used in, I don't know, what's a good example of other certificates, Alan? End user, like device certificates, what else is there? User certificates. There's many different types and formats of certificates that can be stored within it. You've also got keys, which are effectively sort of a cryptographic keys. So it supports software protected and HSM. Protected keys, and HSM refers to hardware security module keys. That's effectively where you have a highly available HSM that manages those keys, and it's actually a physical device. Is that right, Alan? That it's actually an appliance that's actually connected in for you.
Yeah, definitely managed by Microsoft in the background.
Yeah, if you don't use that, you effectively use vaults, which can also, I think, also be connected to HSM. But think about vaults as sort of software protected from Microsoft key storage, and there's a whole different raft of different formats of keys that you can store within it. And then the last part is secrets, which is can effectively be any type of secret string value that you might want to use. Maybe you've got a shared secret or some sort of access credential that you want to store within Key Vault. So it abstracts away you having to host anything. It's sort of fully managed as we talked about. There's an RBAC model with Key Vault, so you can really granularly define who can access the different types of sensitive information and the level of access that they have. I would say it's quite granular in its approach, you know, as far as sort of Azure resources go, lots of different types of roles that you can set up there. Also auditing and event logging to understand who's accessing what at what time. And because you've got that RBAC model, you also have the auditing and sort of traceability of who has access, not just when they have accessed those types of things. So really, you know, it's an Azure resource that you deploy. And keep me honest, Alan, can you have one per subscription and region? Is that the hosting for Key Vault, if I remember rightly? It's one per...
No, you can have multiples.
One per region? You can have multiples. Where is it that it's the limit of Key Vaults? I'm sure there was a... You can't have multiple Key Vaults in... Can't remember. Maybe that's not right. Apologies if that's completely wrong. I thought there was a limit for Key Vaults. There is for Azure Disk Encryption. I'm just thinking that integration. Just remember having that, bumping into that issue.
That was that it had to be in the same region though, wasn't it?
Correct, as the thingy. Sorry, inverse. Apologies for that. So it deploys as an Azure resource. So you can deploy them with Terraform, Bicep, ARM templates. You access them via the Azure portal. There's not a separate sort of location for them, and they sit alongside the other resources within resource groups. It integrates with lots of various different services, and really, you know, dependent on what you're storing, you're getting sort of information specific sort of functionality. So let's just talk about certificates to start off with. So you can be a certificate owner. It's effectively a management of your X509 certificates. You can create secure storage for those certificates, create policies that allow Key Vault to manage the life cycle of a certificate. It's probably, a big part of a certificate's life cycle is its expiration. We see a lot of, should we call it, challenges with certificate expiration and sort of renewal. So it allows you to provide contact information for notification of life cycle events for those certificates. You can assign attributes into those certificates and tags as well to add to the metadata that's stored for them. When you're storing those certificates, you can define key properties, the key types, the key lengths, whether they're exportable, supported key types, RSA, RSA HSM, EC, ECHSM, and OCT. That covers the vast majority of certificate key types. And there are secret properties that you can put there. When we're talking about those lifetime actions that we've previously talked about, there's a couple of different actions you can do. You can either email contacts and provide contact information, as I've spoken about, or you can set it to automatically renew and regenerate as well. So yeah, so there's a lot of there's a lot of really good value there. I've used the example of secure communication or authentication certificates, thinking things like intranet sort of websites, protecting through TLS certificates there. Think about also other IoT and networking devices for authentication and communication as well. So obviously certificates play a vital role in sort of many different areas of sort of enterprise IT and also application hosting and development. So having a managed central location that you can access it from is, I would say, really powerful.
Yeah.
Sorry, Van. You use Key Vault quite a lot. Is there anything on the certificate side that you don't think I've covered there?
No, I don't think I've not. To be fair, I've not really used the certificate side of it. I've more been the secrets side of it in my usage.
Go on.
I was just going to go back to kind of like. This kind of sounds very, a very important store of sensitive information in some form, isn't it? And you kind of talked about RBAC being quite granular. Is there any protections around like an own, someone getting an owner or a contributor role and then being able to see these secrets, or is it quite locked down in that sense?
Yeah, the RBAC model is completely disconnected from like the owner role, contributor role, etc. with inside of Azure, and dependent also on the policies that you've got in place as well. You can restrict, owners not having RBAC access to grant permissions. Isn't there an actual role for the permissions admin for Key Vault? I think that's how they do it, isn't it? You have to have a specified role in order to manage Key Vault.
I think an owner can put the permissions onto it, but they can't see the secrets without
correct
giving themselves that role and things they don't get by default, kind of thing.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So there is definitely another level to that, and I suppose that's where your RBAC in Azure comes in, isn't it? Right, do you have sort of bad hygiene of RBAC in Azure? Are you segregating out those duties and roles correctly? Because for me, a lot of the systems that need to interact with these certificates, keys, and secrets are not humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you manually need to renew some of these, values. But let's say you've got a secret, which is, let's talk about secrets, right? And then I'll revert back to my example. So a secret is just effectively a string of up to 255 characters. That's for the content type. So you can set a secret and set its content type for when you're reading from it. What you can do is you can set a number of attributes to it. So you can do an expiration date on a secret. You can also have a not before date as well that can be passed in. So that should that can give you a hint to say, the secret data should not be retrieved before that date. That is only informational, though, that field. So you have to respect that with your integration. And there's also an enabled attribute as well. A couple of other read-only attributes are created and updated. But not too much else there on that side of things. There's also secret access control. So there's a full set of roles and permissions for actually reading, writing, listing, deleting, etc. Those secrets. But as we were mentioning before, a lot of the time, access to these things. Let's say you had a secret. Let's say you had some non-rotating shared secret that you had between two systems, effectively a password of some or a passphrase of some sort, and it never expired. Then it might be that the person that created it in the first place, you know, seeded it with the original secret information, but then maybe all of the reads after that point should be, you know, like a managed identity of some sort. You know, so when we're talking about auditing and logging and also RBAC, we can really granularly define who should have access to what and when they should have access to it. Like an example, when we create key vaults via Terraform, and you know the actual key vault itself is created, the secrets can be pre-populated by sort of the identity that runs that Terraform build, and we can assign like only a managed identity a role in order to access that. So in theory, if you don't have something that needs to be manually updated by a human, then in theory you can completely lock humans out of needing access to those secrets, right? So it's I would say really well integrated from a access perspective.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I do love key vault.
Yeah, and it's probably worth just sort of calling out as well is we sometimes use secrets to store other values, don't we? Not just secrets, because it is a good way. I mean, there is a new for Azure for app service. There's a new, what was it? Hosted configuration manager or something like that. I think I covered it in my app service. Or was it a news update?
News update.
There's a new update for config. A new service for config, which looks really good. But you can also mix and match. A secret doesn't have to actually be a secret value. It can also be used as like a key value sort of configuration store, right? So it's pretty powerful from that perspective. I don't know what scale you can get to. I did have a note of the maximum length of let's have a quick look. Maximum size of 25,000 bytes. What's 25,000 bytes? 25. Oh, sorry, wrong keyboard. Apologies. 25,000 bytes in megabytes. Hardly anything at all. So I'm not sure what the actual maximum length will be. I suppose it depends what type of characters you're placing within it and the content type you've used, maybe.
Yeah, there doesn't appear to be a limit on how many secrets, keys, or certificates you have either, from the look of it. Maybe on the managed HSM there is, for obvious reasons of capacity on the hardware, but
maybe that should be a script to see to test the limits of it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, like I was saying before, this seems really powerful to store these secrets in a secure way. I guess the question might be is how would, you know, a developer, an organization, a service, store, you know, this sensitive information without Key Vault, if they're in Azure, because I'm assuming that there's the equivalent in the other, you know, the other clouds.
Yeah, so I think we'll call it sensitive. It's probably not a good idea. Well, this is sensitive information, right? You know, keys, secrets, and certificates. It's obviously on-prem solutions for sort of like certificate management, But from the sort of application development world that I've lived in, secret management and key management has been tricky, to say the least. You know, do you find a paid solution that you self-host and secure? HashiCorp have got Vault, which is like a, I believe it's still open source. They were having some changes with their licensing, but that's like a self-hosted, like Key Vault sort of equivalent. But the, I think the challenge is when you run things yourself, you obviously get the, you completely manage it yourself, right? So you've got to think about the risk both ways. You know, you are giving this sensitive information. Like, for instance, the TLS certificate for your website, as an example. You know, it's fully managed, you know, and hosted by Microsoft. Stored and managed by Microsoft. You know, you could approach that conversation in a way of, well, I don't want them to have access to everything, the complete keys of the kingdom, so to speak, like literally. So there is that sort of argument, but I think the other side of it for me is you're either not managing these very well, you're storing secrets in config files, environment variables, you're manually copying certificates onto web servers, keys, right? You're pasting keys into portals and, you know, I don't know, backing them up somewhere. So, you know, would you run your own solution? And is your solution highly available? Because, you know, if a web server doesn't have access to a certificate, then it can't communicate correctly with clients. It might be cached, but you know, the point is that, you know, do you have a highly available solution? And also, do you have the resources to run it and also secure it as well? You know, so there's definitely pros and cons each way. I think we can all agree that as long as you're moving towards some sort of system to manage this type of sensitive information, then that ultimately is the sort of best way to move.
Yeah, okay, cool. Okay, so you kind of talked about this earlier, and you know, we've got a Key Vault, we've got the secrets in. You know, how or what does it integrate with? You know, how easy is it to, you know, to call the call the secrets and the certificates, etc.
Okay, so to start off with, there's a bunch of client libraries that you can use. So there's a .NET library, Python, Java, Spring, and Node.js out of the box access. So, you know, if you're using one of those systems, then you're good to go. There's also a REST API as well, which you can management.azure.com. And you can get access in to list, you know, to all the various different actions that you need. So kind of however, you know, if you are building sort of bespoke or integrating, you're really well covered there. Let's talk about other integrations. So if you're using Azure DevOps, you can reference Key Vault secrets in Azure pipelines. So when you're defining a pipeline, you can be tempted to either store secrets, sensitive values in the actual pipeline configuration itself, or you can use, what are they called in pipelines? Are they called properties or, can't remember what they're called, configuration items, variables, let's call them variables. They might have a different name in Azure pipelines, which those values aren't stored in the actual config itself. They're stored in Azure DevOps. They can be marked as sensitive well on the runs, but the people that have RBAC access to the pipeline itself still do have access. So you can bind a you can make a service, I believe it's a service connection in Azure DevOps to reference a key vault and pull its values in. It's also, in a very similar way, integrated into Azure App Service and Azure Functions, which allows you to effectively bind in a key vault to provide secrets and configuration directly into the App Service application itself. So that's really, really powerful. That's for secrets. There's also the same for certificates in App Service. As you can imagine, you know, hosting web applications in App Service is really important. You know, for public facing and also non-public facing APIs and web applications. Azure Kubernetes service has an integration for key vaults, which allows you to inject secrets and certificates and keys into Azure Kubernetes service. Not something that I've personally used before, but that integration is there. Same for Azure Databricks, allows access to secret management directly into key vault. And Spring integration allows you to read secrets from Azure Key Vault in a Spring Boot application. And also in Spring, you can also secure Spring Boot apps with Azure Key Vault certificates. Spring is not a system that I've ever used before, but there is an integration there as well. That's more, I would say, developer-orientated integrations. But again, sort of first-party PaaS solutions on Azure. Azure Key Vault also integrates with virtual machines. The example that I used previously was for Azure Disk Encryption. So the encryption keys are stored within Key Vault and used for Azure Disk Encryption. And also it is, and I didn't know this, but it's also integrated with managing storage account keys. But apparently that is a legacy integration, so I'm not sure what the rotation out of that is and what the new system is for that. I've personally never used Key Vault in that scenario.
Okay. I was just thinking about some of the other integrations, because you've got also got, I don't think you mentioned it, but you've got things like Logic Apps you can use it with as well to pull yes. keys into that yeah. to then do API calls if you need to, or does it? No, it doesn't work the other way. But yeah, and manage identity to access it.
Yep.
And I think the other one that I know about is probably API Manager. Yes. Where you can use named instances and reference a key vault that way as well. Those integrations, at least from the portal side, obviously not from a coding side. And within Azure, like you said, Sam, about function apps, things like that are relatively easy, aren't they, to get it hooked up. It's all just making sure you've got, you're using the managed identity to access yeah. it, and it's relatively simple to get that, at least with a function app anyway, that you create the configuration item or line, isn't it, and then a reference to the key, to the secret, and then you can use it in your code, can't you, in effect?
Yeah exactly. It's probably worth calling out networking at this point as well, because I think that's probably the only slight stumbling block, I think, is probably fair. Is that fair to say? So you can you bind it to a VNet, the firewall, or is it always publicly rooted. I know you can do private link with it.
But if it you might do private link, then it can hook up to a VNet then.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it's a... but basically, you know, the main struggle really, it's not the portal, it's more the connectivity, I would say. You know, how you are... it does have a firewall functionality that you can configure. So that is the only thing. If you are locking down who and how you can access it, you sometimes can trip into edge cases. Like, is it fair to say, Alan, some services which can't, at different tiers, can't VNet, you may have issues with private transit into Key Vault and vice versa. You may have to transit externally, but not externally, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you might have to. Yeah, there are some services like function apps and logic apps in the like consumption tiers. You can't hook them up to a VNet. So yeah, you'd have to transact over the Microsoft internet layer, if that the public layer there. Maybe not, you know, exiting their services themselves, but within Azure, yeah you're right. But you know, you can't, I guess the answer, the other sort of answer around that is that you can't access it without having permission there either. So it's not like it's it's not like it's anonymous sort of access sort of thing. You know, someone can't try and poke it. You can't accidentally do that. It is by default, you need to have permission to access that key and provide, you know, an authentication mechanism for it. So you have got that. Yes, in other scenarios, you may have to lock it down to VNets and things like that. But generally, when you're some of the SaaS services, you know, it just needs to be, you know, accessible from that point, and, you know, securing your identity is key as well, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. And I guess as well, because I guess probably a scenario around it being sort of centralized and that is that if you are storing, like for a certificate example, if you're using the same certificate, maybe it's a wildcard or something like that, and you can store that in there, you're using it for multiple services, then, you know, when you go time for that renewal and you have to do it manually, you know, at least you potentially only have to do it in one location and not have to go to every service. Same with the thing with the secrets. You know, if you've got a client ID and secret from Entra, you know, at least you only have to change it once if you're keeping the same secret across the service itself for all the different components.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So having one source of truth that your other solutions sort of call into, is a great way to manage updates and distribution.
Okay. I guess we kind of talked about some of this, but can you give us a working example of using it?
Let's think about an actual. So we've talked about sort of web applications using certificates pulled from Key Vault, sensitive configuration items, things like connection strings, database secrets, that type of thing, bound into app service and function apps. I'm just thinking about logic apps, not specifically just for logic apps, but storing application IDs, client secrets for Entra applications and SPNs in your logic apps as an example. We do use that quite heavily, passing around credentials. I think any scenario where you do need to store those types of those types of sensitive information is pretty well supported. I do really like the fact that you can offload Azure data encryption into Key Vault, which means that you've got access, you've got access to auditing and sort of more centralized management of Azure disk encryption keys inside of Azure. So that's another really powerful scenario. I think as well that there wouldn't be anything stopping you using Key Vault in a different location or even potentially cloud service and calling back, because you can peer it, you can quotes publicly access it. It's not public because there's a firewall there and authentication. So it really is a flexible solution there for many different scenarios.
Yeah, I guess in theory, like you were saying, you can pull it from anywhere, providing you can authenticate, kind of what we were talking about before. I guess that means that potentially you could store those secrets for services that might be, you know, hosted, you know, on premise in data centers, kind of thing, as a central store for those secrets to secure them. Kind of like what you're saying, you know, you could potentially build services on premise, but actually, can you just use that cloud service there that's been tried and tested?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So probably the question then is, because it sounds like an obvious thing to have if you're managing sensitive sort of secrets and things like that within an application sort of environment. You know, so I guess the question is, how much does it cost?
Okay. So there are two different tiers. There is standard and premium. So let me just see if I can get a breakdown of the differences between the two of those, because the pricing page has got, it is exactly the same. Do you know the difference between the two, Alan? Is it just like HSM's port?
I think it's just HSM is the difference.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Okay, fine. So, secret operations. Right, I've got to get these numbers right. 3 cents, and this is in dollars, 3 cents per 10,000 transactions for secret operations. So, okay. Yeah. Will you use that? I've never really seen, especially if you were caching some of this information. You know, if you were using it for a config for a web server or something like that, you might cache it into memory so that you don't need to keep coming back to Key Vault anyway. So, don't know. Certificates, if you want to be able to renew certificates, renewals are $3 per renewal request. Any other operation on certificates is the same, 3 cents per transactions. Three cents per 10,000 transactions, sorry. For software protected keys, so RSA, other RSA is 3 cents per 10,000 transactions. More advanced key types above 2048 bit encryption bit keys, so RSA 3072 and RSA 4096, and ECC keys, elliptic curve cryptography keys. That's 15 cents per 10,000 transactions.
It doesn't sound like it's breaking the bank still. In some
well, yeah, I've never seen a high. All the scenarios I've ever done have been quite low transaction volume. You know, still valuable, like systems, you know, business systems, but they're not pulling, you know, hundreds of thousands of transactions per day in Key Vault. So I'm not really sure about the high end of at what point does it make sense to build your own, you know. But if it's like 3 cents per 10,000 transactions, you've got to be doing some serious transactions to even get to like a virtual machine hosting cost to run your own, you know, open source solution or container.
Yeah, definitely.
HSM, HSM protected keys. For RSA 2048 bit keys, it's $1 per key per month as a base cost, and then 3 cents per 10,000 transactions. Then for the advanced key types, you know, the 3072, 4096, and ECC, you're looking at the first 250 keys is $5 per key per month, and then the 15 cents and per 10,000 transactions again. And then as you go up, it scales up. So between 251 to 1500 keys, it drops to $2.50. 1501 to 4000 keys drops to 90 cents. And 4001 keys and above is 40 cents per key per month. But you've got to buy a lot of keys at higher rates before you get to there. So I'm guessing that's quite expensive. Like the certificate renewals, if you want to do key rotation, it's $1 per scheduled rotation. And I believe in order to do a HSM protect, if you want to do your own dedicated pool of HSM, because I think HSM can be like Microsoft shared and managed. You can also do managed HSM pools, which are like actual, I think they're the dedicated hardware. That's $3.20 per hour. So
yeah, okay, that's
if you've got that's the cost. If you've got the regulatory $3.20 times 732, it's about $2,400 a month basically. But you've really got to have a regulatory compliance reason to go down that route, I would assume.
You're probably going to talk about it in a minute, maybe, but if you've got that pool, does that mean that you don't pay per cert? You just got to pay per transaction or something because you're in effect paying for the
hardware. I don't know. It's not detailed. Let me just see if I can grab a quick look at the docs, because there's a whole section for it here. Just give me 2 seconds.
Because you kind of understand the per key cost if you're sharing it, you're sharing the cost of the HSM pool. But then again, it's still quite a lot to, you'd have to have a lot of keys to make it the same, unless you've got the regulatory compliance to be separated.
Yeah, I don't know, is the honest answer.
Okay.
It's not in the FAQs either. I've never got to that level, so I can't comment on it. But my gut is all compounded on top of each other, I reckon.
Okay.
But that might be wrong.
Okay, cool. So it doesn't sound too expensive to at least, well, to get started. It seems something to nothing to sort of test it out and things like that and start building applications. And then it slowly ramps up depending on what part of the key vault you're using. And depends how much calling, especially with the secrets, how many times you're calling the key vault to get the various secrets in there. So maybe that might start ramping up once, if you're, you know, got a large service and, you know, providing to, you know, to a large, you know, customer sort of, a large amount of customers.
Yeah, so. And it's probably worth calling out that this is just a system for storing this sensitive information. You know, you have to generate by, you know, these certificates and keys yourself. It's really a distribution and access control mechanism and storage mechanism for them.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Is there anything else then, Sam?
That's it, because it's quite a relatively simple service, really, because it only stores, what, three different things. It's just integrated with a lot of stuff, right? I mean, some of those concepts are complex, you know, defining certificates, keys, rotating them, managing them. There are some complexities there, but from an actual application perspective, it's storing data and making it available to other systems. So no, that's it. That's it from me.
Okay, cool. Just one thing around it is that it has got things like purge protection and soft delete, hasn't it? So that
yes,
if you accidentally do delete
point,
them,
yeah.
Things like that, at least you can get back. It's not necessarily caught us out, but when we've been developing and we set, you know, these services on and we want a new kit and rebuild it with the same name, because it has to have a unique name, doesn't it? That was probably the thing you'll think about before.
Yes.
It has to be a unique name worldwide, doesn't it?
Yes, true. Yeah.
But yeah, we've created them, deleted them, gone, okay, I need that name again. And we can't use it for 30 days.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a lot of recommendations, isn't it, in like Defender for Cloud and policy to enable purge protection, right? Because it's like good standards to make sure that you can't nuke, you know, your keys and your certificates, right? Just in case, and secrets, just in case that's your central store for them, right? So like you say, so yeah, pro tip on your actual development environments, make sure you add that as an exception until you go into probably staging and production, because it has got us out a few times.
Yep, there's always a one or a two on the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, key vault 1ABC and then D.
Cool. Okay, so what's our next episode?
Yeah, so next episode is our news episode. We do that once per month. So next week we'll be into April. So we'll recap on the Azure March news. And I'm sure there's probably a lot to cover.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely been a few announcements about a few things. So that's good. Okay, so did you enjoy this episode? If so, please do consider leaving us a review on Apple or Spotify. This really helps us reach more people like yourselves. If you do have any specific feedback or suggestions around episodes, we have a link in our show notes to get in contact with us.
Yeah, and if you've made it this far, thanks ever so much for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah, thanks all.